right beat to the eight to the start select.
It gets mad points from the code y'all love.
I got 99 lives and a power glove.
Speed, River City Ransom, Maniac Mansion, low, DuckTales Gauntlet. Did I mention when it comes to Triforce, I got the pieces to find. Four bottles on plush with the fairies inside. Maxing out my rupees at 999. I like to keep Princess Zelda as my bitch on the side. I rule, Hyrule, and not surprising to find. I did a binge at Ninja Gaiden like several times.
Up, down, down, left, right, beat to the eight to the start.
You're listening to episode 11-2 of the Tech Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Desert Eagle Allen. With me today is the future lead litigator of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. That's Samurage, a.k.a. Sage Morris Green.
Yes, exactly that title.
I love that Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe gag. That never gets old.
Yeah, it's stupid. And a poster of Miley Cyrus inspirational quotes. That's Mr. Eric Blue Swim.
At the request of Whiplash Smile from the last podcast, I'm going to give the haters a Falcon Punch to the balls.
Wow. I can feel that one all the way from over here. Inspiration to us all, father, husband, and most of all, gamer, Jeremy Lawman Lamont.
I'm father to Robert. I'm inspiration to Sage. And I guess that would make me... Oh, God. Well, anyway, hello, everyone.
The time-space continuum just ate itself because I think I'm older than you, Jeremy.
That's terrible.
Not with us here tonight is Sean Nola Kirkland, who is at a trade show, running the booth. He's our resident booth babe tonight. So I want to say today, Old Deagle is feeling particularly old with my elderly era foreshadowed by the loss of hearing in one of my ears. I'd love to be all manly and blame it on gunfire or an explosion. But in truth, I succumbed while flying back from Hawaii. My ears are actually kind of delicate and don't decompress very easily. So I do apologize in advance if you guys say, hey, let's talk about games. And I say, I didn't hear any mention of in the forecast.
What are you talking about games?
Yeah. Is it permanent or temporary?
I hope it's temporary. It's just a backup of mucus in my right. No, left ear. Left ear. And my right one's pretty. I wish I could do that. So I'm on Sudafed. I'm on nose drops, ear drops, all kinds of things to get the gunk out. But yeah, I can't hear in one ear, which is really kind of amusing. Yeah, it's really weird because I was in 7-Eleven about 2 days ago. And carried my little dog in with me. I was getting, pouring my big gulp there. And a dog just came in and jumped on my leg. It scared the shit out of me because I didn't hear it, approach me. And I dropped my stuff all over 7-Eleven. Apologize.
I don't want to laugh at you, but that is the funniest image ever. Like, you're this huge guy, you're holding this tiny-ass dog, and this dog runs up, and you're like, ah, and you just drop everything.
And the other dog was, like, super friendly. He was just jumping on my leg. Not doing anything. So, let's talk about games, because that's what we do. Little impression. So, first thing we wanted to do was talk about Wreck-A-Tier. And which is kind of a somewhat inspired amalgam of two casual sensations, which is Angry Birds and the Kinect. In the game, you play as this apprentice for, I believe it's called the Wreck and Tinker Destruction Company. They're an outfit which cures goblin-infested castles of their woes by knocking them into little tiny bits. And you'd probably think it would be easier for them to, call in some type of medieval Ghostbusters, but... knocking stuff into dust is probably more fun, and certainly it's better than the last Ghostbusters game, if not every Ghostbusters game since the Commodore 64 one.
I like the last Ghostbusters game.
The Atari one?
Oh, no, the last one. When you say the last one, you mean the first one?
Twin stick shooter one?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about, like, the new next, the current gen one, where the...
That was published by Atari, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, that was good.
That's the one that's on the 360?
Yeah.
Yeah, 360.
Yeah, I thought that was good, too. You didn't like that one, Deagle?
No, I didn't.
It was hater?
Yeah, I'm a hater. I didn't really have fun wrangling the ghosts in. It was like, it wasn't enjoyable for me.
Because it was too difficult to be fun, or because you didn't think that it was like...
I just thought it was tedious. It was just...
It was all right. You're like aiming the proton pack like one way or the other and smashing them and doing all that kind of stuff.
It was fun the first couple ghosts, but then after a while, it just... I don't know, it never... changed a lot. I think the dialogue was kind of amusing. That was the best part. I like that, but I didn't actually like the play mechanics very much. But
you know, I liked the dialogue too. For me, the thing was, it was a little hammy how you had to go back to all the same locations from the movies. Like, they had some good new locations, but it's like, well, we've got to go back to the library. Uh-oh, now we've got to go to the hotel again.
But you know that if it's a game made off of like a franchise, that they're going to have to include that stuff in there. I mean, that's just a given.
But I don't know. It seems like they could have done it a little bit smarter. Anyway, I know this isn't what you planned on talking about, but anyway.
but anyway, just to start off, Wrecketeer, there's a brief tutorial which tells you how to do most everything except for direct, what are they called, the guided shots. So you're in this game. You're aiming for bonus shields, which, you know, increase your multiplier, all in an effort to earn, you know, those elusive bronze, silver, and gold medals. So the mechanics themselves are pretty straightforward. What you do is you step forward, you bring your hands together to grab the bow of the ballista, and you take a step back, and aiming is accomplished by either turning, kind of pivoting your body, and also moving it a little bit. It does take a lot of room to play the game. You step all the way back for full power, or a foot or so closer for a shot that kind of can bounce along the ground, and that gives you bonus points. Your trajectory is determined by how high your arms are. So if you do it to, you know, chicken stance, or, you know, kind of keep them low, that will determine how you know, far you launch the orb. The game gives.
Can you describe chicken stance for me? I'm not familiar with that term.
Put your, you know, hands near your elbow there. Oh. You know, like you're gonna flap the chicken wing.
I thought it was like a.
Jeremy, I know you do that around the house.
Well, I do that, but I don't know it as that. I mean, I just call that my walk. But
your feet.
My rooster walk. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were talking about some kung fu stance or something like chicken.
No.
The drunken praying mantis.
Yeah, drunken master's in another game. I'll get to.
Okay.
So anyway, the game, it gives you infinite time to aim your shot, and it even highlights parts of the building where you're going to hit for you. Releasing the orb, you open your arms again like a bird, and then when the ball's in flight, you can kind of swat it. The game says you have these magical gauntlets, and you kind of swat it to guide it, you know, put English on the ball. The controls work well most of the time, but last night I played in a pretty well-lit room. It was illuminated by an overhead three-bulb lamp, but things got a little glitchy. My avatar was moving around. My leg was bending at this inhuman angle.
It was kind of like a Kudo Sonoda a couple of years ago at E3.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of that. I was kind of twitching all over, but my leg bent forward at the knee instead of going backward, which was really kind of disgusting. And my virtual arms were all flailing about, even though I was standing still. I played
Did
a little.
Did you say bam really loud?
No, I didn't. I think I said shit a couple times. because my avatar was like turned around the wrong direction. That was really pissing me off. But I played a little bit more today in, you know, not direct sunlight, but illuminated by, you know, just kind of daylight. And it did work better. So I just got to chalk that up to connect wonkiness. So some shots, they have you extending your arms like a bird and you kind of fly around. And that works pretty well for me. I think if there's one thing that Kinect can handle, it's great, big, dumb, exaggerated gestures. And so far, I've played about 30 of the 60 castles in the game. And the game is pretty relaxed, but still enjoyable. It did bring out my obsessive side, because I kind of replayed castles to get the gold. And I think for some, the lack of variety may be disappointing, because once you've seen the first couple stages, you've pretty much seen what the game has to offer. But considering it's 800 points and the Kinect really hasn't had a compelling game in a while, I'd give it a recommendation. What's the last?
Really? So $10 to stand forward and back to adjust your power, to do the chicken dance, to swat the ball out of the air.
To play Three Birds in 3D. It's actually kind of fun.
Okay, all right. I'm just restating here what you've just said.
For the record.
Yeah.
Cheer, money. No, I think if you're, you know, if you want a good casual game, there's no, I don't know, there's no villain, there's no, you know, you can kind of play at your own pace, and it's fun.
Does it have like a party mode? Like, can you play with other people where you can like laugh at them? And I mean, is there that kind of element to it, or are you like really just struggling with yourself?
Yeah, I played this player. I didn't see if there was a multiplayer option, I'll have to get back to you on that one.
That would be pretty cool, games. Actually. If you, maybe like what was that old Atari four player game? Was it Warlords or something like that, where everybody had their own castle in the corner?
Yeah,
maybe combine that with the Angry Birds gameplay and try to smack somebody. Or
I mean, so there's at least two, but like Kinect can see at least two people, right? So is there like multiverses or something? Or
really don't know, because the space you need to play, especially with my wingspan, to play a two player Kinect game is pretty much impossible unless you're a millionaire out here in California. Mm. In my office, it's probably 15 feet across, and my wingspan's probably, I don't know, like 6 feet. So
22 feet.
20, yeah, 20. When I unfurl.
Those. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, like, there's like Wipeout, you know, because I know that it's easy to sound a little bit skeptical about Kinect games and whether they're fun. But, you know, for example, there's the Wipeout game that's based on the, you know, sort of obstacle course kind of thing. And it's really simple, you know, it's like run in place and do a jump. And, you know, it's not always right on. But it doesn't matter, because if you have a room full of people, it's like, you know, kind of a lot of fun to like, oh, you totally just like fell in the water. And look, your dude's leg just bent back into his spleen. So if there's that, I mean, I could definitely see that. But I guess apart from that, I guess I'm just trying to understand a little bit about what the hook is.
Problem. I reviewed Wipeout, and there was such a disconnect between when you move and what your on-screen avatar would do that, to me, it was really frustrating. I see what you're saying about the whole party atmosphere, like look like a fool. But this one, you know, at least single player. There's that. Next up, let me talk a little bit about Planet Crashers. Our friends at Ignition sent over a code for the game, and it's an eShop game for the 3DS coming out this week that helps fill the empty void created by a shortage of RPGs on the system. There's not too many out there. It's a game that probably draws inspiration from both the, say, the simplicity and also the chibi characters of Animal Crossing, as well as kind of the environments, the spherical environments of Super Mario Galaxy. So you know, it's kind of a nice fit for the system. And I should mention it's made by Renegade Kid, who made Mutant Muds and the Dementium series, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed the Dementium. I didn't play Mutant Muds, but plan to. Anyway, back on track. The title, it starts off with this impetus that is pretty much blink and you miss it, you know, something, save the world, get off the planet, kind of fodder. And within a minute, you know, four tech screens, you're walking along the planet. So narrative brevity, it might be an asset in this case. Your first quest, and you can pick up more by either talking to roaming people or off a quest board. It sends you into one of three color-coded dungeons, which are randomly created every time you die. So you wander around, and inside these dungeons, it gives you a nice map on the bottom screen, and it's complete with marked locations of the items, although the enemies are concealed until you venture into a room. And as soon as you step into an area with a foe, they just make a beeline for you, which brings up the game's combat system. It's turn-based, and it's got multiple attacks as you gain experience, and it's really kind of like either Paper Mario or the Penny Arcade. What was it called on the Rain Slick Precipice? Yeah, it's the whole title. Because when you hit buttons at the right time, it increases the strength of your hit. It is enjoyable, but I do have a few problems. Let me kind of list those. First of all, level grinding takes way too long. If you take on inferior monsters, it takes about 60 of them to beat to advance a level. Aggressively, you can do it in 30, but even at early levels, the enemies take off enough HP, forcing you to kind of resurface, stock up on potions, go back down. Luckily, I guess the game kind of gives up the gold rather easily. You can temporarily boost your abilities through eating different foods. There's like carrots and cakes, and they give you a little bit of strength, or they give you defense, you know, if you use one of these shields, but it only lasts for one monster. And so you have your stats on the bottom screen, but it doesn't last for very long. And so the amount of money that you pay, sometimes you find these for those things compared to, you know, their value, doesn't quite make them worth it. The game randomizes dungeons, but it can make a creation where you can't access the additional floor, like the second floor, because you can't get to the staircase. So one of the things you have to do is die on purpose, which takes away some of your gold and loot away. It's kind of a pain in the ass. I'd like to verify that with another reviewer. I hope to do that, but it's happened to me twice now, and I'm scoured and I made sure I went through every room to make sure there wasn't a ladder. At $9.99, it's a little too pricey. It does have a lot of content, but take it from someone. You guys know I have a high tolerance for grinding, but Planet Crashers, it really gets repetitive. At best, it has some roguelike features, which is probably good enough for some people. But for the rest of you, I'd probably wait on this one.
So I was looking at some screenshots of this, and you mentioned kind of the Mario Galaxy. To me, it kind of looks a lot like Animal Crossing, Wild World. Kind of the and there's like a little house that you get, I guess. Is there that sort of collection element to it, or
you get different weapons? Like my first weapon was a banana, which is kind of funny, but definitely has the chibi characters. But once you're outside on the planet, it is very spherical, like Ratchet and Clank. Remember when Clank was a big robot, or Super Mario Galaxy? You you're on this sphere that looks like a big tennis ball, and you're kind of walking around it. That's where that.
Yeah, or again, it sort of reminded me again of Wild World. I guess Wild World just had kind of like the log rolling kind of effect, where the scrolling was only forward or back, but it just kind of reminded me of that sort of aesthetic. So, random dungeons, grinding, loot, $10.
Yeah, kind of. I wish it was $8.
Does it have any like multiplayer? Because it kind of looks like there's an opportunity for some connectivity of some kind.
I tried to connect. Nobody was playing it yet, but.
I had that problem this weekend with Guns of Icarus.
Next, let's talk some Gang Wars.
Gang Wars.
Yeah, that's this week's new PS Mini from SNK, which is priced at $2.99. So in the game, you choose one or two fighters. You kind of brawl, Double Dragon style, punching, kicking, body slamming opponents to the ground. A few things set the game apart from its peers. First are facial expressions. Stunned enemies, they make this kind of comical O face. The bad guys look around. It's definitely a dated game. It's in that Final Fight era. But you can see how the developers were trying to make the characters a little bit more lifelike. The first level isn't too hard, but man, things get cheap quick, which is kind of an SNK thing. The second level, for instance, it takes place in an auto factory where unless you move, you just get pelted with these engine blocks that come down to your head. And while it's fun, SNK, they stripped out the two-player option, which is really a bummer. And brings me to, it's even worse, in the other release this week, which is Time Soldiers. Now, I do have to give it up to the emulation coders. They took my advice and probably other people's advice and mapped the old rotatable joystick to the top triggers, unlike what they did with Ikari Warriors 3, where you had to use the buttons. It's still hard, but you have to practice, just like all old school games. And this one, it's not impossible this time out. Unlike other Ikari clones, the game has this interesting kind of setup where you travel through, five different zones to rescue a captive. You hop back in a time machine mid-stage until, you get to the right era. But the lack of a two-player option really hurts, especially when it's, flashing on the screen. Two-player press start.
Really? The whole time?
Do you have any insight as to why they eliminated that?
Yeah, I can talk. I do have a contact from the publisher there. And I think mainly I'm guessing the PSP minis are kind of geared towards the PSP. And, they don't really have a connectivity. Yeah. But on the PS3, I played it on the PS3, and there's no reason why that should be taken out. So,
I think the certification process is a lot looser for minis than it is for anything else. So I could see that if they come up to a situation where, it's a two-player game, we can't go back in and alter this game to take out the two-player mode. We also don't have the option for connectivity, but hey, they'll let it pass cert even though it's blinking two-player the whole time. I could see that.
Yeah, which kind of drives me nuts. I just don't understand. It seems like the coding of it, in order to take out that two-player element, that would almost be more difficult than leaving it in.
Probably, exactly. Definitely, to take it out would be more difficult. But
But anyway, it might be fun for collectors. It kind of feels like a mix between Commando, the old, you know, Commando game, and with the Fields of Fire from a shmup. So $2.99 might be worth it. A little dated. Still kind of fun. So.
Yeah, if you like it, sure.
And then I played a little bit of Chester. Did you guys touch on that?
Yeah, I got to play it a little bit.
I got to download it, but I had to head out after I had finished.
It's kind of a platformer with light role-playing elements, and it has some really cool things. Like, you can change the background, and that changes the aesthetics. You can go from like pixel art to kind of sketchy. The whole game is kind of has a hand-drawn motif, and depending on, you know, how you change it, it affects, say, the speed of gravity or the force of gravity on different things, and really kind of fun. Just a good platformer. You can plug in a 360 controller, and you know, for people that don't like the keyboard setup, and it just plays like a, you know, great console game. So, loving that, Chester.
Chester,
I really liked. The only problem I had with it at all was the. It seemed like it had a little bit of the Bubsy type, like, floating walk thing, where you would, like, jump on something and you'd sort of start to slide off the end a little bit.
I thought you loved Bubsy.
I could possibly go wrong.
But I don't like the game mechanics. I love the humor, not the floating nonsense.
I didn't really encounter that. I thought the platforming was really, really pretty tight. And even when there were, like, little bubbles and stuff like that, I didn't have a problem. I felt whenever I made a mistake, it was my fault, not the game.
I don't know. It's like the difference between
the ninja wall jump was a little bit different in that you have to let go of the stick, which is kind of counterintuitive. Almost every game, whenever you bounce back and forth between the walls, you point the stick towards the direction, and this one you let go. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So that was unintuitive.
Because I put it on the computer, and so you were using the arrow keys, but, like, unlike Splody Man, which just feels really intuitive, the timing is, like, slightly off. Like, you have to let go and wait a second and then hit down the arrow key to jump the other way, which it gives you that second. Like, he doesn't fall right away, but it, like, takes some getting used to. It doesn't feel immediate.
Hmm, okay.
No. Maybe I wonder if it's a difference between Xbox and PC then, because when I like was jumping at stuff, it felt like the difference between like Mario 1 and Mario 2, where in Mario 1 you jump and like it makes sense. Like, you don't jump that high and you can't jump that far, and it like follows a continuous sort of arc of motion. But I felt like this one played more like Mario 2, where you had to get used to this, like, you sort of float a little bit as you jump.
Yeah.
But it might be a PC thing, I don't know.
You do kind of jump fairly far, but I don't know. I adapted to it pretty quick, and I was doing some pretty crazy jumps. Try to get flexible.
But I love the idea of the different characters in addition to the different, like, environment dynamics, and that all the characters have their own special attacks, and I thought that was really nice detail.
So where can we find Chester? I know it's on Desura, I think you said. Is it info anywhere else, or...?
I believe it's exclusive to Desura right now.
It is for now. He's trying to get it put on Steam, and they're trying to get as many people to play it. That's why they're doing the free thing for the next 48 hours. They want as many people to play it as possible so that Steam will pick it up.
They had over 10,000 visits on the website today.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
so we're talking about
it in the future, but for right now it's on Desura.
I like it better than, what was that, Magic Duster? What was that game where you clean up?
Dust Force?
Dust Force, yeah, I liked it better than Magic Dust.
It definitely has more going on than Dust Force, for sure.
It's better than Angel
Although, Dust. You know what I thought was funny and weird is that all the little info boards that you pass that give you, like, the, you know, push this button, whatever, had these little jokes at the bottom that seemed like a bunch of in-jokes from a group of friends, like private jokes, and I felt a little left out because some of them I was like, I don't understand why this is funny.
Aww. That can go both ways, though, too. I remember in the Mutant Blobs Attack on the Vita, where, you know, Drinkbox Studios, you know, they're kind of into the indie scene with everybody else, and they're all the billboards on top of the buildings with, you know, references to, like, Dejoban, and their, senseless disregard for gravity, and they just had references to all kinds of other games. I thought that was really cute, but I guess there is a dark side to that.
Yeah.
Where nobody gets your jokes.
Right.
Kind of like
goes both ways.
Radio.
Let me pass the baton to Jeremy.
Well, I've been playing. I kind of went two different ways this week. I have been playing a little bit. I'll just kind of throw in a mention here to Mod Nation Racers on the Vita. I know people are probably a little bit tired of hearing about the you know, the bargain bin Vita shopping that I've been doing lately, but Mod Nation Racers was another one of those that was $10 at GameStop a few weeks ago. I think that deal's probably long gone, but I just wanted to mention that because the other thing that's going around right now is the Little Big Planet cart beta test. They're kind of doing a lot of, you know, getting a lot of publicity going for that, and I played a little bit of that, and it kind of just made me guilty that I never played a lot of Mod Nation Racers. So in the Little Big Planet carts, I kind of got around like the entry lap where you find out if you'd rather have the right trigger or X be your gas, and then I was like, you know what, I should really just play Mod Nation. So so that's exactly what I did, and so I loaded up Mod Nation Racers on the Vita, and I know that, you know, it didn't get a lot of real good positive buzz or anything, and the kart racing is pretty simple, but I have to say that I'm really impressed by it. The amount of content, like the different levels. Like, I've been playing through the campaign, and there's just tons of stuff.
Yep.
And just like in Little Big Planet, you can use all of that to make your own tracks, and they make some really elaborate, cool tracks. And the you know, the weapon bubbles that you get are interesting. You know, they have kind of an upgrade system. If you run over the same color bubble a few different times, it'll take like a single missile to a couple of homing missiles, and then finally to some giant, you know, Death's Head war spray of just missiles going after people, or you know, different mines or gas clouds that you leave behind. And the kart racing is, again, it is really pretty straightforward. There's not a lot to it, but the drifting feels pretty good. You can drift for miles if you want to, and build up your boost meter. And you know, there's a shield that you can throw up that's draws from your same boost meter. And just generally speaking, it's really pretty good. It is a little. I'm sorry.
The one thing I would say is I found it a little difficult for a kart racer. It got difficult fairly early on, in that even though I was picking up all the weapons, and I'm pretty good, you know, at these type of games, I did finish Crash Kart. I don't know. I started having difficulty. It was getting a little frustrating with the AI.
I never really had a problem in the races themselves, right. But I think the nature of the way the tracks are built is, you know, it's not like every track is like a single, you know, it's not like Mario Kart where you have 10 tracks and they've QA'd the, you know, the crap out of it, and there's, you know, no glitches and things like that. Because there are areas where you go through like a, you know, a giant ramp and it shoots you through the air and you can spin around and do tricks. And you might kind of land a little left of center and suddenly find yourself down in a ditch somewhere, and then it takes a minute for it to figure out, oh, you're off the track. And so that happens from time to time. I don't get too bothered by it because I found, I don't know if it's just me, but if you're really stuck in there, I think somehow it figures out like, wow, you clipped through the you know, the earth
world,
or something.
Yeah,
exactly. And it'll actually, I've been to the point where it actually set me up in second place where I think I had been before. So, it accounts for that, and it doesn't happen all the time. But in terms of the difficulty of the levels themselves, you know, or every once in a while there'll be a ramp that, you know, shoots over some, you know, bales of hay or something, and you accidentally miss that and run into the bales of hay, and then you have to try and go all the way back around, and you scoot off the ramp again and go off the side somewhere. I mean, every once in a while, something a little glitchy like that will happen, but for me personally, it doesn't really ruin the overall idea.
I was just talking about the main AI. They're pretty aggressive in the game.
Which is good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if the alternative is rubber banding, because everybody hates rubber banding. Personally, I will throw it out there that I don't mind a well-implemented rubber banding mechanic in a game, because a race
is
the most fun.
Banding?
Rubber banding is where if you are far ahead or far behind, the other characters will automatically gain ground on you, or you will automatically gain ground on them, and the idea is that you try and keep everybody together in the pack, so to speak. Which I could see why some people wouldn't like it. I mean, if you're, you know, like people like us are probably, when we play Mario Kart or whatever with our families, we're probably the ones who are always way out ahead. So I could see how that could be frustrating to somebody, like, oh, these guys keep catching up with me. But it's most fun when you're in a group of other racing people trying to run them off the road and that sort of thing. And I find that, I find that enjoyable.
Did you do track creation? Because I thought that element was really cool, the way you could use your finger.
Yes, to like push up the ground. And
do
the, yes, absolutely. Yeah, if you can, and I never created on Little Big Planet, Little Big Planet 2, none of those. I've always kind of just like putzed around a little bit with the creation mechanics. I never actually published anything, but I'm kind of tempted with Mod Nation Racers Vita to actually do something, you know, creative. Okay. There is no one thing that's important for people to know is that there's no head-to-head Wi-Fi or what do they call it, infrastructure mode multiplayer. So you can't play over the internet with a friend who's got it. There is ad hoc if you happen to have two people in the same room with Vita and a copy of the game. But I, you know, I was thinking about that too, and that even doesn't really bother, you look at the features list, you're like, they can't even do that. But honestly, you know, with the other games I've got, you know, the Mario Karts and the, you know, what have you, I hardly ever play multiplayer with those either. Right. And, you know, the game is, it's one of those, you could almost say that this could be one of those, for the kart racing people, it's one of those desert island games. I mean, you could take this game and just run with it forever. There's just a ton of cool stuff you can do with it. So I didn't necessarily mean to. Oh, sorry.
There's no way to change the AI setting at all. Like, it's just fixed.
You can change the number of racers, I think, but other than that, I don't think there are any settings for that. So anyhow, I actually didn't end up meaning to talk too much about Mod Nation Racers, but there it is. You know, if the little big cart gives you the guilt the way it gave me, go track down a copy of Mod Nation either on your Vita or on your PS3, and I don't think you'll regret it. So.
And gas is X, boys and girls.
Yeah, no. Right trigger forever.
No.
R2.
Never.
R2 forever. Never. That's right. Actually, I am kind of curious, just really quickly, throwing out a quick little poll here to the Tech Gaming crew. How do we think Little Big Carts, Little Big Planet Carts will do? Do you think it'll sell better than Mod Nation?
About the same.
Yeah, okay. So that tells me what I need to know right there. Yeah. I mean,
I think it'll be really popular with the fans, but not... Like, with the Little Big Planet fans.
Like, as far as I can tell, it's literally the same thing, and they decided, oh, do-over, let's throw in a sack person and call it good. Yeah, but I don't really see that. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be solid. Like I said, Mod Nation, solid. Really good. You know, like I said, the racing is simple, but it's fun. I'm sure Little Big Planet, same thing. It'll be fun, but it just, like I said, it just kind of made me feel guilty when I started that up. I'm like,
who's developing the kart racer, Little Big Planet kart?
It is not Media Molecule. It is
people who did Mod Nation Racers.
I'd have to look it up. Somebody look it up.
It's, I'm looking it up.
Something Island or something. I can't think of it. But anyway, Media Molecule, I think, is working on something totally different. And you know, it's kind of too bad too, because I really was. I was kind of digging the whole, you know, play, create, share concept.
Wait a minute. You were digging. It's still going on, right?
Is it? What is something going on that I'm not aware of?
Well, the kart racer, that's continuing.
Yeah.
It's United Front Games in conjunction with Media Molecule, who did the Mod Nation racers for the PS3.
I really am a big fan of the whole, you know, creation element for every game, so I hope it's not going anywhere.
It just doesn't seem like it really caught fire the way it actually should have. And I blame us. We are the reason that we can't have nice things.
Wait, us, your co-host?
Just you three, basically.
Okay.
Hey, I don't have a PSV.
It's
part of the problem, doesn't it?
I bought every damn Play, Create, Share game. So I'm not part of the problem. I'm the solution.
I'm not a Sony PlayStation person, so I take no responsibility whatsoever.
Okay.
Whatever, you guys.
You guys are leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
You know, the next thing that I had done here was I marked down that I have done the Facebook taste test challenge, like the Pepsi challenge.
Do you lick the screen?
For Facebook games. Well, it's not quite the same because I actually know the brand X and the, you know, I know all of the elements in play here, but recently, you know, there have been a few what I guess we might consider to be legit Facebook experiences. And one day, I think it was when You Don't Know Jack came out, and I decided, and people said good things about it, I decided I wanted to try it. So I've got three games here that I played on Facebook and sort of compared them to their mainstream gaming counterparts, and I kind of wanted to see how they stack up. So not exactly the same thing as a Pepsi challenge, but I'm kind of calling it my Facebook taste test, and so I just wanted to sort of get the word out a little bit about Facebook so that you can know whether it's worth getting into Facebook just for the games. Because I don't really use Facebook as a social thing. I have a Facebook account, but it basically just it pretty much just carries over anything from Twitter. So it's purely just for the purposes of games. Facebook is the platform that I spent most of my time on this past week or two. So the first one I tried is You Don't Know Jack. And if you have not played You Don't Know Jack, you are really missing out. You Don't Know Jack is a quiz show series that goes back to the mid-90s, I think it must be.
Yeah.
And it's a very, it's an irreverent quiz show, and they have very funny topics. The first thing I want to say about You Don't Know Jack on Facebook is that I literally laughed at every round in the game. the host, Cookie, what's his name? Cookie Masterson, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's
his name. And that guy, whoever they have doing that, is just hilarious. I mean, the little jokes that they have, and they're very current, too. I mean, they have stuff that is taken, ripped from the headlines for your amusement.
Is it the same voice actor from the original game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cookie Masterson.
It's Cookie Masterson. I mean, he's an actual person. I think that's his actual name, is Cookie Masterson.
No. That's his real name?
Yeah, when you're born with a name like Cookie Masterson, you got to go to voiceover.
I'm looking it up. That can't be his name.
You better be damn funny if your name is Cookie. But
you have to love sweets.
Yeah, I guess you would expect that. He probably really liked broccoli. anyway, the thing that is in common to all of these Facebook games is that, and really I think, a lot of free-to-play games in general is that they kind of limit your game time, which I know that a lot of people are a little bit grudgy against. I've seen a lot of people get angry at games about, they only let me play for 5 hours. I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, come on, you guys. Let's just get a good taste.
I didn't know the homeless had a Facebook account.
If I want to play that Lego Batman 2 demo for 31 times, damn it, I should be able to.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's some.
So what's the time limit on You Don't Know Jack?
Well, for You Don't Know Jack, it's basically just a very abbreviated version. They have three rounds, and they're generally the same kinds of rounds. So, and I have to admit, I don't know the names of the different rounds, but they have
Jack Attack is my favorite.
Yeah, Jack Attack, I think, is the last round where they give you a topic, and then it's like the words are swirling into this miasma, and you have to hit the space bar at the point that it matches whatever the theme is. But it is the legit You Don't Know Jack experience. If you've ever played, ever enjoyed You Don't Know Jack, like quiz games in general, or just really feel the need to be humbled in public in front of all of your friends because you get a terrible score, I definitely recommend at least trying You Don't Know Jack. Just log into Facebook, type in You Don't Know Jack. Of course, it'll be the first thing that comes up. You don't have to spam your friends. You can sort of compete against their scores, which is kind of neat. It's very one of the other things about gaming on Facebook is that it has a very asynchronous, friendly layout. Mm-hmm. So You Don't Know Jack was fun in that sense as well, and I pretty consistently came in last in all of my leaderboards.
Did you screw your opponents?
They actually don't have, I don't think they have that, but they actually let you buy. So here's the thing. So they have, the other thing is in all these games, they give you the opportunity, since they're free to play, they give you the opportunity to add some kind of bonus to your to your score. So they give you these little shots that you can do, like little shots in the arms or I don't know. It's needles, so I'm assuming that I guess I didn't really think too far into
junkies.
That one.
Yeah, that's a good message. You get a bonus if you stick a needle in yourself. Yay!
It is. So they do let you.
They really want to get you hooked, don't they?
They really do. Or they're avid fans of BioShock.
Do you get a Facebook achievement if you bleach the needle first?
and it
you
is
don't
legit.
Get a virus.
It is legitimately fun though, and I think the limitation is that again the rounds are short, and I believe they're doing it where they have a new game every day or two, so there is the repetition. The idea isn't that you sit and veg out in front of these games for hours at a time. You play a couple quick rounds of You Don't Know Jack, get your chuckles in for the day and move along. But You Don't Know Jack definitely, I think, would be the thing that I enjoyed the quickest and the most, and it was just really a worthwhile experience. So if you have a Facebook account, try out You Don't Know Jack. Just give it a shot. You'll enjoy it even if you don't stick with it. That's my take on that.
Wait, one question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to, accept permissions, etc., to play it, or you can just go play it?
I think for most of these, if you want to be able to compare to your friends, I believe that you do have the option to say, no, don't access my information. But the idea, though, is that if you want to compete against people that you know, it would have to have access to your list of friends. So, in fact, one time, I may or may not have been at work playing in private mode on Internet Explorer, and it didn't compare me to any of my friends. So there is the opportunity to play without that, I believe. But with all of these, I did give permission to my my friends list and whatever the basic information was that it required.
Because I know that's a fear factor for some people, because some of those games have, like, it accesses several things, and is your information still private, and, like, that's
something people get freaked out
about. You're telling the government how much you know about popular culture.
Yeah.
And Zuckerberg.
How pregnant?
Yeah, and Zuckerberg.
Yeah, exactly. So my take on that, though, is that if you're on Facebook, or really if you're living life these days, you're kind of on the grid somewhere. So.
Yeah, but it's not the same as like being on the grid and then I give permission to an application that may or may not have something embedded in it that I am not aware of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even then, I mean, how many things in your life, I mean, not to make you paranoid or anything, Sage, but how much information do you think is out there on you right now? A lot.
It doesn't make me paranoid, because if you Google me, you don't find a whole heck of a lot, and I don't give permissions to any of those programs for that reason. Like,
except for Sector.
I don't want a virus, man. Sector doesn't know anything about me, and
you posted some kind of play or something. You were in. He did on one of the show threads.
What did he post? Oh, yeah, actually, he did. You're right.
See? It's out there. You're on the grid.
Okay, it's like just Sector. Okay.
Well, while I Google you, Sage, and look up the rest of your personal information, I'll continue to talk here about Pixel Junk Monsters.
Yes, please. Sorry.
Yeah, Pixel Junk Monsters, actually, of all of these, I found to be the, as compared to the regular Pixel Junk game, I think it's the most well-adapted, I guess we might say. You Don't Know Jack is pretty much a straight carryover of the You Don't Know Jack experience, but Pixel Junk Monsters, they redid the art, they redid a lot of the concepts, most of the maps are different, it's a little bit more simple, the paths that the monsters take to get to your little,
shrine.
Hogan or whatever it is, your little Navajo enclave, is short and pretty, there might be a couple of loops here and there, but generally, and there are fewer trees, so it's just a much more simplified experience, which, for those of you who are very hardcore, Pixel Junk fans, maybe that's going to be too simple for your taste, but they, the other thing that they did is they've got the whole one button concept. So all of these games basically work in Flash or in some other similar platform where you basically don't have a right click. So everything's done with essentially one button in all of these things. Although I guess You Don't Eject did use the keyboard, so you can hit ones and twos there. But here you can control your little tiki man with the mouse. You can drag him to specific trees. You can simply click on trees. Gathering coins from monsters that you kill, you just basically brush your mouse over the top of them so you don't actually have to run and go get the coins. And just generally, I found it to be a lot less stressful than, because with Pixel Junk Monsters, if you really wanted to succeed at it, you'd have to it was deceptively, picky, finicky. Yep. Like you had to know exactly which tree to put this kind of thing on in this order. And oh my God, here comes this wave, destroy this tower, do this other thing.
And hang out at trees and do the little dance.
On your towers and like upgrade them, and you can still do that. So there's an option to upgrade your towers through dancing. You can upgrade your towers by getting gems. In this game, the paywall, there's not really a paywall, but you can. They also have little items and things you can get to unlock other areas, and you have your little tiki hut where they have items that you can buy to do different things. You can invite friends and compare your scores and your times to but basically you can compare your results to other people in your friends list. I was able to pretty well keep going on that. There wasn't much of a time limit that I could see on Pixel Junk Monsters on Facebook, but it, again, each of the levels, you have maybe three or four waves as far as I've seen. And just generally, you can get through it, I think, more quickly than you can a game of standard Pixel Junk Monsters. So, again, highly recommend it, especially if you're a fan of the Pixel Junk games on the PlayStation or the Vita, or the Pixel Junk Monsters Deluxe did come out on the Vita here finally. But if you like Pixel Junk Monsters Deluxe, this I think would be a good waste of your time as well. So, Pixel Junk Monsters, try it out. Again, all of these games totally free. So if you got 5 minutes to burn, go play some Pixel Junk Monsters.
I don't know how I feel about your recommendation. This is a good way to waste time.
Well, aren't all video games a waste of time?
No.
I'm furthering my life by playing video games.
As a matter of fact, they have done a lot of studies on what good playing video games does for people, and one of the studies they've done is that people who play a lot of video games tend to have dreams where, if it's the type of dream where you encounter like a monster or some sort of antagonist, and most people would like run or, you know, try and get away from the bad thing in their dream, people who play a lot of video games are more likely to stop, confront the thing, and make it go away. And so it's actually having an effect on those people's ability to deal with confrontation successfully in real life and be able to like make a situation go away.
So wouldn't Pixel Junk Monsters start to push people towards those dreams then?
Because I didn't have a problem. I don't have a problem with Pixel Junk Monsters. I have a problem with Jeremy saying this is a good way to waste your time. I don't think games are a waste of time.
Well,
be a waste of time if you want them.
They can be. It depends on the game, and it depends how you utilize them, just like anything else. Just like reading, just like alcohol, just like anything.
Puddle was a waste of time.
Who needs a social life when I got Skyrim?
Except for the people who are like plugged into Second Life permanently and never leave their houses. Those people have a problem, but otherwise.
Still play Second Life?
42-hour marathons.
Yeah.
Really? That's still a thing?
They do. Well, last I checked, I haven't checked in a couple of months, but last I checked, people were still, like, they don't have a real life.
Have you seen that documentary on the people where they leave their spouses to join their Second Life partners?
No. Really?
It's called Life 2.0, and they think it's all dreamy, and then they start taking out the trash, and it just gets sad.
That's intense.
It's like really fucked up. Yeah. But it's moralistic, but you know, it's still fun watching these
people. The crazy story that I knew was that the guy who owned like the most popular nightclub in Second Life sold it in real life for real money for like $3 million or $3 billion. Either way, it's an amount that's like, right. What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Well, then they have this other story, this lady who makes clothes for Second Life characters. Like, that's her whole, she lives in her parents' basement. That's what she does all day long. And she's pulling down, you know, like, I don't know, $100,000 a year. And then people start coming in, they knock off her clothes, and her income drops to like $1 a day. And you just feel bad for this woman.
I would feel bad if it wasn't so, like, no, there's no excuse for that. I mean, go out and make a friend, any friend. Anyone would be your friend. Just go talk to anybody.
Okay.
Because otherwise you're wasting your time.
No!
All right, let's get off our high.
Okay, all right. So the last game that I played in my Facebook taste test challenge was I played the new game from Insomniac Games, which we were talking about Ratchet & Clank a little bit earlier. Their new game is called Outernauts. Mm. And the brand X to Outernauts is actually Pokemon, or the monster battle games of the, you know, the 90s and the 2000s. Mm. And I have to say, this of the games that I played on Facebook was probably the most ambitious, and I think it's something that people should sit up and take notice of, because in my opinion, this is probably one of the best monster collecting and battling games to come out in the last few years. I've played, you know, the new Pokemons on the DS, and for some reason, I don't know what it is, but the Pokemon are getting really weird now. You know, like back
now,
in the first round of...
Now they're getting weird?
Well, the thing is...
Silver.
Well, that's the thing. So in the first one,
dildo with eyes.
Yeah, and the names are kind of weird. Like, here's a giraffe with another giraffe on top of its head or something. It's like, really? Or Jinx, like the notoriously black-faced Pokemon, or, you know, Mr. Mime. Like, the human Pokemon are a little bit creepy, aren't they? The people-type Pokemon?
Dude, they're all friggin' creepy. Mew and Mewtwo and friggin' even Pikachu is creepy.
What's really creepy is how they can speak just their names and nothing else. You'd think they'd be able to carry on a conversation if they can go, like, Mewtwo and Pikachu and Blastoise.
They all seem to understand each other, too, which is a little bit weird.
Yeah, like, they don't actually speak the same language. They just all say their names, but somehow they still understand. I think it's because they're all mentally challenged. They're like, oh, yeah, not, yeah, what, no? That's what their conversations are.
But the Meowth can talk.
Do they ever explain why he can talk?
They do. There is an episode where he talks about how he falls in love with another Meowth, and he wants to express himself, so he actually learns how to talk. There's actually an episode about that.
So they can't understand each other.
Which one is that? Watch that one.
Sure. No, it's for serious. That is, he's telling it like it's a you know, this flashback. This whole
flashback.
Yeah, exactly, scenario. Exactly. I mean, it's like it kind of reminds me of one of those, misconnection kinds of. I don't know. Anyway, so but speaking. Yeah, love connection. Anyway, he's just telling the story. Anyway, it's not that interesting. But the thing about Outernauts that I really like is Insomniac Games is a smart company, and the game it's definitely very very casual, let's put it that way. I mean, it's got kind of a very cutesy sort of vibe. But one of the things I really like about it is the design of these little beasts. They call them beasts here. And they start out very cute, kind of like in the way Pokemon does. They start out very small and round and fluffy, and then they'll eventually evolve into some larger and mean looking things. But the design of the little creatures is really cool. When Pokemon, think back to when Pokemon first sort of got circulated. People started first hearing about Pokemon. I was really excited. I mean, I was in my late teens, and I was like, "Oh, these monsters, and you're going to be able to collect them, and it's going to be so rad, and it's going to be collecting cards and all kinds of things." And then it turns out that they're like, it's very, you see the cartoon and it's for babies, basically. Like, it's a baby cartoon. That is one of the big heartbreaks of my gaming career, was how Pokemon was aged too young for me. In fact, if you want to get a little bit of dirt, my second date with my wife was the first Pokemon movie. We didn't do it on the first date, but I was still in denial. I had seen, no, listen, this is true. I had seen the TV show and all of the little creatures, Pikachu, Pikachu, and I thought, you know what? The movie, they're going to go full adult. Like, it's going to be they're going to bump the age group up. If they're going to release a movie, I don't know what it was going to be, but I was convinced. I'm like, you know what? This is going to be awesome. I was holding out hope that and it was even worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a short film at the front of the regular of the feature that was like nothing but these Pokemon going Pika Pika, like literally for 5 minutes. I sunk into that movie theater chair and
she fell in love with you, Jeremy.
Well, that's why I'm glad it was our second date, because if it had been the first date, I probably would still be single. But
did she say anything after the movie?
Well, we sometimes, when Pokemon comes on the TV, we'll sort of give each other a look, but we don't say anything about it. So
so you survived a great trauma together, and that's what brought you together.
It was. I think it did. I think we had kind of that emotional healing together. But Outernauts has none of that. You can look at the characters for Outernauts, and the cute little level one creatures are really cute. The level three, evolved characters are really mean looking and evil, and the names are all cool. There's no like really like Mr. Mime or any of that stuff. It's nice to have an American company doing this. I don't want to be that kind of person, but it's just really nice to have a Western company put some modern.
We're prefacing this with Jeremy is not actually racist. He just doesn't realize he sounds racist. That's
yeah,
all.
Exactly. But I mean, really, I mean, there are some things that I have really wondered why we haven't done it in other parts of the world. And I mean, up to this point, really, all of the creature combat games have been pretty much from Japan, as far as I know. And so this represents a first for Insomniac Games, because it is way off their normal, not on consoles. It's obviously it's a different thing, and it's the first game that is a creature combat style game in the West, made in the West. And it just got out of beta. I had played the beta a bunch, and now it actually just launched in the last few days, so anybody can play it. You just search Outernauts. The limiting factor here on this, you have your character, so you have an actual avatar or an Outernaut. You're these intergalactic, they go with what they know, really. I mean, Ratchet and Clank had this very whimsical sort of outer space motif with interesting planets and mm-hmm. Crazy evil corporations, and you do get that vibe in this as well. The missions are defeating evil corporate what do they call them? I don't know. There's the name of the the evil interstellar corporation. And you have a limited amount of energy, so every action that you do, whether you're fighting a wild beast or whether you're fighting another person who has their little stable of creatures, it takes energy, and I think you have something like 15 or 16 energy units that you can use in a given session. You can buy more things. They always let you do upgrades to your creatures. All of your creatures level up on their own. They get new abilities. You have 4 slots again. You can actually buy extra slots, which is kind of neat, with the these gems that they let you use, if you want to. And again, it's totally optional. Your friends, you get your own little planet, which you can kind of customize with your own flora and fauna. You can actually set your critters out to be there, and other people can come and fight your creatures for fun and profit. If you want to travel to other planets, they have this fuel concept where when you go to a planet, you can set down these little fuel. I mean, there are just layers of these mechanics that sort of help to give you something to work toward. I mean, if you want to go visit another planet that has different kinds of creatures that you're interested in, you need to gather enough fuel to go to that planet. Or if you need enough money to, buy this new ability or to buy more capture orbs, gravity orbs, all of that is it's got its own mechanic. And
can you EV your characters?
You mean like if split them into different...
No, like, you know how Pokemon, there's kind of that training regimen that you can do. You can do certain things to really power up your characters.
Well, they do have, I mean, I was never a real high-level Pokemon character, Pokemon player, so I don't know about that. But they do have, again, the same kinds of elemental types.
Right.
So different attacks will be strong or weak against different players. And the other thing is that you can carry a stable of up to 3 different beasts,
right.
And they, you can again have up to triple fights. You can actually take turns, and it's all, you command your three guys, and then they take their turn, and has that sort of thing. But
kind of
whether
the,
or not
the 4 attacks, claw, scream,
yeah, exactly. Okay. And they have some that are just modifiers. So, for mm-hmm. example, one of them might have something that gives all of your characters on the field a 30% to hit bonus.
Okay.
Also, even if you don't field all of your beasts in a given battle, they all will level up. So it's I want to just throw it out there that this game is not, and Facebook games in general. I mean, one thing that I've learned from this process is, I mean, I'm sure that you can, you've heard or you've seen on Twitter and the message forums or what have you that, Facebook games, like, they're terrible. They make you pay a lot of money. And there is that opportunity. I mean, they definitely are not there to give you free games just for the fun of giving you free games. I mean, they are there to give you the opportunity right. to spend money on that game. Mm-hmm. And if the price of admission is zero, well, what the hell? Just buy a few gems here and there.
I'm looking at a screenshot. At the bottom, there's a shopping cart in the corner.
Yeah, and they also, the other thing that all of these games have in common as well is getting the word out. You can share, for example, in Outernauts, they give you some just freebie gifts that you can gift to other people just for the purpose of drawing them in and getting them to play it with you. And it's not that that's a bad thing. And that's the thing that, again, as I kind of was getting into this and just looking around at what people were saying about these kinds of things, I was really baffled by the fact that people would find just all kinds of reasons to have this irrational distaste for these kinds of games. And this is just something that I played in the last week and a half. I didn't have to look around. These all came out just recently. You can go and try them for nothing. And I definitely recommend that you at least give it a shot. I mean, it may not be your thing, and maybe you have your reasons, but if you want to share it with friends, maybe you have some friends who are gamers on your Facebook, get them to come try it out. And I have no stake in Facebook games. I mean, honestly, I don't sit down to Facebook and just play a lot of games. But I was just really surprised to find that the games here, it's not all, Townsville or, whatever the games are that are out there. It's not all Gangland or what have you. There are some really legit experiences that are coming out, and they're only getting better. So
cool. Who had the mouth toy?
That was me.
That was you. I have to interrupt and say... The Blue had a Meowth toy that would shout shit in Japanese, which he added to the outline.
It was the
That's
most
incredible.
It was the most obnoxious sounding thing. It was like, nah, 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 nah.
How is that talking?
Yeah. That's going to be my new ringtone.
It's talking in meow.
Oh, great.
I know there's also a Civilization Facebook game out there that's supposed to be pretty good. I'm going to try that out. I'm at least personally, if I can just share what I've learned, I'm going to be at least open to trying games on an open platform like Facebook. So I encourage anybody out there who's interested, if you have a few minutes, don't want to spend some money, just go out and try some of these.
Doesn't Age of Empires have one?
There is Age of Empires on, and this, I mean, specifically this time, I was playing things on Facebook, but there are all kinds of things coming out that are either browser-based or that are, I mean, Battlefield Heroes is one that goes back a few years, and it's totally in-browser. Quake Live is another one.
Conquer, I think, just launched one a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, and there are games that you can play in the browser. There are games like Tribes Ascend, you know, has its own client. I mean, there's some games that you legit download as a, you know, 1.6 gigabyte installer. So there's a lot of stuff out here. So this time I kind of just focused on Facebook games, but it's not something that a lot of people are really talking about, so I kind of wanted to take the opportunity this week and just really legitimately just try it out and see if I enjoyed it. And I really did. So
thanks,
Facebook Taste Test Challenge, thumbs up all around, good times.
Okay. Word. You'll have to come back with the Facebook crap games next time.
Well, the question is, and I was kind of teasing Sean about this when he had talked about, what was it, Marvel or Avengers or something like that, but are you actually going to continue to play it? That is the thing I'm still not sure of, if I'm actually going to continue to come back and to spend time with these.
Even Outernauts? Because that sounds kind of cool.
You know what? I would like to. And I want to say something else about Outernauts. I was trying to pester one of the Insomniac guys to acquiesce to this, but you know what I would love to see? I would love to see Outernauts come to the Vita. I think, you know, with the touch platform, and you know, that Treasures of Montezuma Blitz that came out, the free-to-play gem swapping game. After the patch, I don't know if you guys had tried that, and, you know, before it patched, it was really kind of questionable, but after they retuned it and made it something interesting that didn't feel like they were just really trying to squeeze you for money all the time, it got to be a really fun experience.
Really?
And I feel like something like that, I mean, the Vita, you know, I think we had talked on some of the past shows about how, you know, in China or wherever they're talking about, you know, we're going to make Vita more of a free-to-play kind of platform. And I don't know whether that's ever going to come to pass, but I felt like Outernauts would be a really good fit on the Vita. And so if you're out there, you've got a Vita, try out Outernauts, see if you agree with me, see if you want it on the Vita, and we can go bug Insomniac until they do it.
Okay. Jeremy, tell me about some PS Minis. I played Velocity. I like Velocity a lot.
I have taken up a lot of time this show, so I won't go into too much detail about it, but... the two or three minis, I actually am a big fan of the PS Minis. I may have said this before, but the PS Minis platform as an idea, I really love. It's similar to the Xbox Live Indie Games, but I think there may even be less certification process to get minis out there. Sony doesn't tend to really promote it in the same way that, you know, it doesn't really get the buzz that Xbox Live Indie Games does, but there are some really good games in the PS Minis platform. You can play them. All minis are playable on your PSP or your PS3. Vita is kind of questionable. They
Very
are really
questionable.
I mean, even just today or this next week. Actually, Wizorb. Was it yesterday? Wizorb. Yeah, Wizorb just came out, and it's a new release, and it still doesn't work on your Vita.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that they have a, you know, especially for their new platform, they want to limit you know, hacking and some of those kinds of things where you find vulnerabilities that will allow you to, you know, to root the Vita. So there is that, but it is still weird to me that they would allow a new release like that to come out and not have passed through cert yet.
I kind of wonder how it is that there are, since the Vita has not done so great since it came out, I feel like that's the double fold trap of not having, like, a huge, you know, successful release, is that some development companies are then like, well, if everyone still has this other gaming device and maybe not everyone has a Vita, let's just make it for this other gaming device and not worry about the Vita.
Well, and here's the thing. It's not that they make it. In fact, I checked with this because one of the minis that I wanted to mention, which is one that just is now available on the Vita store, is Velocity. Robert mentioned, maybe Robert, you want to talk about it, so I'm not just flapping my lips the whole time. But the company that did that game is a British company called Future Lab, and I actually talked to one of the designers over there, and I'd asked him about this PS Minis program and what was involved in that. They don't have to do anything to make their games more compatible with the Vita, or, you know, because actually in Europe, Velocity has been working on the Vita, I believe, since it launched. It's just that in the different regions, they have different certification processes, and it's just a matter of literally just passing it through cert. So really, and you know, talking to the guys were there, they had said that the barriers to entry for PS Minis are very low. And they were big fans of this, too, because I specifically was interested in knowing, are people actually making money? Are they actually getting benefits from the PS Minis platform? And those guys at Future Lab, they love it, especially now that they're getting a lot of promotion. It's kind of been a little bit of a sleeper hit. It's been out for a few weeks. Was originally free for PS Plus users. I think it's off that program now, so it does cost, what, $3? Yeah, something like that. Less than the price of a lunch, and it is definitely worth it. And actually, Robert, I'd like you if you are able to talk a little bit about Velocity.
I just have one question. Did Sony drop the "it only does everything" motto once the Vita came out?
The PS3 only does everything.
Okay, the other ones do about Vita, a quarter of everything.
The Vita, it only does, you know.
Anyway, Velocity, when you first play it kind of seems to be a straight up shmup, but there's various factors and it almost plays like a speed run each level. And there's a number of different mechanics in there. One of the things you can do is kind of warp, and you hold down the square button and you can kind of pick where you want your ship to go. And that comes into play when you're going through levels and there's kind of a barrier and you warp through levels picking up stuff. And so the game is less about shooting enemies and more about getting to the end in a reasonable amount of time. And so so it's kind of interesting because I came at it as, oh, it's going to be, you know, a shmup. I'll check it out. And it was more about navigation and score runs than anything else.
I do not like shoot 'em ups. I just don't. Whoa. I mean, I'll play them. I know. I don't seek them out. I guess let me put it that way. I'll enjoy a good shoot 'em up from time to time, but I thought the same thing when Velocity first came out. Mm-hmm. But like what Robert was saying, how the different mechanics, I mean, they do it very subtly. So at first it's like, okay, top down, you know, kind of moving up toward the top of the screen kind of shooter. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of shooting, but then they're like, oh, you can control your own speed. Mm-hmm. And I think you do that by holding down the right trigger. You mm-hmm. can actually go faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then you're like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And actually, at that point, I'm like, all right, I'm on board with this. And then after that, a few levels in, they're like, oh, well, now you can actually warp. And so you, like Robert was saying, you hold down the square, and it gives you a little cursor, and you can basically warp to anywhere that's visible on the screen. And it's like, wow. So you can go fast, and you can warp somewhere, and sometimes they'll give you, like you were saying, speed runs and things like that. And then they add in the idea of setting down teleporters, mm-hmm. where you can set down a teleporter and reverse back in the level so that if there's, you know, they have switches that they set up where, you know, you might need to access one by blowing up this switch and then that switch. And then there, oh, even before that, they have bombs that you can throw sideways. I mean, they just do a lot of things. And mm-hmm. not to talk again about Ratchet and Clank, but the thing I felt about the first Ratchet and Clank game was that they just do so much. It's like they're playing all of their cards in the first game. And it feels really good. And they do the same thing in Velocity. It just plays really well. Mm-hmm. If you have a PS3 or a PSP or a Vita now, if you have a Vita, you can get Velocity, and it's a lot of fun. The other game just came out that has been around but is now Vita compatible is Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims, which is also from a British company. It's actually the same people who did The Adventures of 2D Rotating Octopus Character, I think was the name of that game.
I think
game.
I played that.
And they're also British. I did, and you know, there are a lot of British PS Minis developers. I don't know what it is, but they're all English. But Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims is a little bit like a cross between like a side scrolling shooter and like Patapon, where you play a floating cloud god. You're a very sort of Japanese block. Oh, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, not like a watercolor, but you're like an oni floating in a cloud. And you can shoot things diagonally up or down, little power zaps. And there's all kinds of bad guys coming at you, and they will try and hurt your little pilgrims as they progress on their own through a level. And, you know, as you rescue more pilgrims, as you save them, as you complete levels without losing any pilgrims, they'll get new hats and you'll get new abilities. And, you know, your floating cloud god powers kind of increase until you get hit. Well, that's the thing. If you keep your pilgrims safe, these little hearts come up and they, if you swoop down and gather up their pilgrim love,
Pilgrim Love.
A new band name, Pilgrim Love. It'll increase your power, and all the levels are really short. I actually ended up finishing Floating Cloud God Save the Pilgrims. It is another one that's really good. So those both came out just this past week on the Vita store. Highly recommend you check them both out. You can also play them on your PS3. But just in general, PS Minis, I'd like to encourage everybody to take a look at those. I could go on about Minis. I mean, there are a lot of them out there. Another British developer, Laughing Jackal, has one called Hungry Giraffe, which is really good. They have one called Orbits, which is sort of a gravity cannon. You kind of shoot out and collect different things. They have another one that is based on the Fighting Fantasy games. Actually, it was Fighting Fantasy in Europe was really popular, but did you ever see in America the sort of choose your own adventure games that also had RPG elements where you would get stats to do strength and you'd have have dice battles and things like that? In America, we had I think it was called the Lone Wolf series of books where you would, mm-hmm. It was basically like a choose your own adventure, but then it was like, oh, here's a goblin. Now you have to fight the goblin. And it's like, oh, if you pick this up in your journey, then you automatically kill the goblin. But otherwise, you have to fight. And Laughing Jackal did a really good adaptation. In my opinion, one of the best adaptations of books to video games that I've ever seen. Fighting Fantasy, PS Minis. Go check that out, too. So, all right, that's enough for me. Blue, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been buried underneath games thanks to my birthday last week. And
happy birthday!
Thank you very much!
Blue, have you ever seen the thing that will eventually kill you is lying dormant in your body right now?
Oh, God. Oh, dear God!
Pull it out, right.
I mean, I basically, I got several 3DS games. Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, Kid Icarus. And for the DS, I actually got Picross 3D, and here's a unique little surprise, Jump Superstars. Now, for those of you who may or may not be familiar with Jump is to, manga as Marvel Comics or DC is to comic books over in America. Mm-hmm. Basically, Jump franchises include Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, One Piece, Rurouni Kenshin, Yu Yu Hakusho, Bleach, shows like that. It's basically a manga Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, that screams dream game. And that also screams game we will never fucking get over here because of licensing issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I haven't spent too much time with it yet. It's very Japanese heavy. I mean, I barely got through like three tutorial missions just by, trying to figure out what the mission objective was. It's like that, you'd see like a button that says like B and you're supposed to do something to, like a target dummy or whatever. And I limped my way through about three of the training missions and I'm like, okay, fuck it. I got to go get a translation guide. And I haven't quite been back to do it yet, but basically, I mean, from what I've played of it, it's a DS Smash Brothers Brawl with anime characters.
So it's a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale ripoff?
What was that?
Inspiration, it's a PlayStation. Not
a
ripoff.
Hey, oh, ripoff. Okay, I see it.
King first.
PlayStation All-Stars is what I was saying. It was a ripoff. But,
Oh, God, that PlayStation All-Stars. I'm sorry, I saw a video of it during E3, and it looks like shit. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. It's going to be shit.
Why?
It looks like a rip. I mean, for all of the reasons you guys have mentioned, it's a Smash Brothers ripoff. It does not look... Nintendo can pull off like throwing all of our characters into a game and having them beat the crap out of each other.
Right.
I just don't really think that Sony's franchises really lend themselves to like a party brawler.
I'm on board. I have to disagree with you. I played a little bit at E3. Thought it was a little slow, but nothing that they can't tune. I just thought that the combination of characters should definitely lure in the Sony faithful.
I'm sorry, Blue. I didn't mean to derail you. I'm sorry.
Well, basically, yeah, I haven't spent too much time with it, but it's, it's a dream game. All sorts of, Goku, Ichigo, I don't know if Kenshin's in this one or the sequel, but yeah, it's got a ton of anime characters, and some characters that aren't fully playable appear as special guest characters, because on the touchscreen there are these little, I guess they're called comas or panels, and they're different shapes and sizes, and if you tap on them or touch on them, like a special character will show up and do like a special attack that'll beat the crap out of your opponent or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty neat for you know, a DS game to use to come up with something like that.
I have to say, I'm a little jealous because I've always wanted to try it. Where do you get something like that? Is it something you can just get on eBay, or do you have to go to like PlayAsia or something?
You can get it on eBay. I mean, that's where I found it.
Interesting.
I'll point you in the right direction after the show.
Thank you.
Go east.
Yeah.
But yeah, another game I've really been, you know, putting a decent amount of time into is Super Mario 3D Land. Basically, I mean, one thing I really wanted for my birthday was like a reason to dust off my 3DS, and I really haven't had much of one. You know, I had Legend of Zelda, and I beat it, and you know, I've played my fair share of the, you know, three or four fighting games that are
now
on it.
Now you can send pictures via swap note. I got my first penis today.
Oh God!
I'm sorry. What?
You can send pictures via swap note. That's
got to be your second penis. Actually, for you, Robert, it's probably third penis, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
It could be fourth, but
is it in 3D?
Yeah. No, it was rather.
Was it an
2D.
Action shot?
No, it was 2D. It looked like a screenshot somebody sent me. But sorry.
But yeah, it's basically a Super Mario 3D Land. It is, it's a scaled down. Imagine a scaled down Super Mario Galaxy, blended with Super Mario Brothers 3 and a pinch of new Super Mario Brothers.
So it's Mario on Mario with Mario.
And a touch,
yeah,
of Mario.
Much.
I actually think it goes back to the original Super Mario Brothers, the way the stages are pretty short. Like, you got to hustle your way. And it's not about exploration. It's pretty linear. You know, you can venture off here and there, but you got to watch time. I fuck around, yeah, in the levels, and then the music, you know, that little chime, you know, tells me, oh, I better pick it up.
Robert, it was you who had all those phobias about timers, right? You were the one who had the...
Yes.
Okay.
Chrono.
Robert, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a timer with a clear glass screen that has fingerprints all over it, and it'll be set to go off when you open the box.
I will Hulk smash the shit out.
That's fine as long as you videotape it. I want to see this happen.
That's like all my fears rolled into one. That's,
I know.
I'll play video games to help me get through it. It's my time. Sorry.
But don't video games waste time?
No, not again.
But if you play the battle.
Sorry, I can't
resist. Tell me about Kid Icarus Uprising. Tell me about your feeling once you got to that fifth level, once you got to platforming.
You know, I think I'm about like the fourth or fifth level into it. And, you know, I gotta be honest, the flying controls, you know, during the stages are usually like first half is flying, second half is on the ground,
yep,
and lather, rinse, repeat. And the flying stuff is all right. It's kind of like a Sin and Punishment. You know, you can move your character around and then also move your targeting reticle to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to dodge objects and stuff like that. But as for the ground controls, it's like the camera is, I believe they described it in the game as being like a globe. It's, yeah, like you can flick it with the stylus and it rolls. And then when you tap your stylus down, that's when the camera stops. Mm-hmm. And in an intense situation, it does kind of get to be a little bit of a pain. Mm. I'm still wondering why they couldn't just have like implemented the same kind of first-person shooter controls that they used in Metroid Prime Hunters on the original DS. Yeah. I mean, that worked reasonably well considering it was a touchscreen and buttons shooter.
I didn't have a problem with it, but it doesn't sound like you got to the platforming level. I think that's probably the next one, and then it becomes a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think that's where I ended up last night. I sat down, got halfway through a level, and there was like a treasure chest on the on like a ledge that was and you have to like do some sort of a jump or a dash or whatever. And then if you fall down, you end up in this pit, and there's like some weird fucker out there, and it's like that's and that's where I ended up getting the game over.
It's like that really took the wind out of my sails. It's like I really enjoyed the game, but those platforming levels really kind of sucked.
So would it somehow be better? I mean, they made that stand for Kid Icarus, right? For the DS. Would that improve things or
no? It's just it's not geared for platforming. I didn't have a problem at all with the ground-based levels. I thought the camera for me was pretty intuitive. It was just a combination, you know, platforming in 3D is always kind of a sketchy experience, and this game it didn't work well at all.
Yeah, it's a shame because I mean, there's a lot of content to this.
There is. There's so much. Yeah.
I mean, I wish all Nintendo games had this kind of level of content to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some issues with controls. I mean, I have been really enjoying this. I mean, even down to the AR cards that you get like 6 in a pack, and then I had a couple from Club Nintendo. And apparently we didn't get them over here. We got a couple of promotional ones at GameStop, but we didn't get the packs.
And it was on one day. It was like on Sunday. You got to go to GameStop. It's like, fuck that. I'm not Sunday, you know, for 6 hours going to a select GameStop
store. Yeah, only one GameStop in particular, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Nintendo, I think, really dropped the ball on that. I think they could have sold more copies and really created a phenomenon had they got more of those cards out there.
Yeah, it could
have been a Skylander situation.
Yeah, I mean, I found the AR cards, you know, it's like after I tried out the ones that were bundled with it, it's like I actually went to eBay and I started, you know, trying to find them. And then I got to thinking, oh, crap, it's going to either be expensive or I'm going to get some fakes and I don't want to fuck around with them. Yeah. I was like, eh, screw it. Yep. But, there's a ton of content to this. There's got the these idols that are like virtual figurines, kind of like what the statues were in Super Smash Brothers Brawl and stuff like that. And you can unlock those either by, I think it's you gather some items in the game or whatever, and you can also use your street pass, or you know, not your street pass, your coins you gather from walking around with your 3DS in standby mode. And basically you can redeem one coin for one egg, and you put it in this bowl, and then you pull the bowl down and you kind of launch it up into the air. And if your percentage is high enough, you'll get like a new figure. Sometimes you won't get a new figure. It's like the odds keep going down as you gather more figures. And honestly, a lot of the stuff that they put into this, I love, and I think it's no coincidence that they put a ton of shit in here, and it's a game by Masahiro Sakurai or something like that. And you know, I wish they would do that with all Nintendo games. I mean, it's like, you know, I've been playing Mario Kart 7 and it's a lot of fun. You know, it's, you know, granted I'm getting my ass kicked, but you know, it's like, you know, you have the Grand Prix, you have the time trial, you have two versus modes, and that's it. And I'd love for them to do like kind of like a Diddy Kong Racing adventure style Mario Kart with unlockables, you know, kind of like, you know, on the level of, you know, Smash Brothers Brawl or Kid Icarus or something like that. I think that would be huge. I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't done that.
Yeah.
Blue, you're that guy that Reggie Fils-Aimé and me talked about. When they give us something, someone always wants more.
That's me.
You.
That's me. I am part of the problem.
Oh, Jesus.
Sage. So, Sage, what have you been playing?
I played a lot this week. My thoughts are going to be not as coherent as I would like because it's been a crazy busy week. But I did manage to play quite a lot of things. Got to play Chester, which we already sort of talked about. I have more complaints with it than Deagle does, but only a few.
Hater.
I'm not a hater. I'm just a little more critical and cynical, but overall,
what's your problem with it?
Well, to me, I feel like the running and landing is a little floaty. Like certain things, like like marshmallow clouds in the second level, I think it is. There's these little marshmallows, and like the edge of the marshmallow is not the same as like the edge of an, of all the other platforms you jump on.
Jump on the edge.
Aim well, no, the but the. But the thing is that you shouldn't have, if you've got a platformer and you're going to design a platform that like a piece that looks different, it should either be different intentionally or it should not affect where the edge is. Like it's an inconsistency that I think throws a gamer off, and it's the kind of detail that, especially considering all the detail given to like the set pieces and the character look and all of that stuff, I was surprised that that kind of detail was overlooked. But I'm hard on it because I like it. I mean, overall, I think it's great. Not because it's free, although that's a very generous thing.
Yeah.
But the guy who's doing it is clearly very imaginative. I mean, he took elements from things like Explosion Man and Mario, but it's really innovative. It's very original. It's very artistically styled without being obnoxious. I think in general, it's a great game. There are just a lot of little, you know, components that I think as he becomes a, as if he like makes more and more games, I think that those kinds of things will be cleaned up. So that's fine.
Okay.
So in general, I think it's good.
I thought the jumping was fine. I didn't see any problems with it.
Maybe
I'm used to loosey-goosey jumping.
Maybe. I mean, I like things to be really tight. And I think it was, I don't remember if it's Angry Video Game Nerd or someone else who went on this rant about Bubsy. I think Sean sent it to me.
sounds like something Sean would do.
Right? And this guy went on this rant about Bubsy, and a good point that he brought up that I had not thought about, which is why I then commented on it for this, is that platformer games, because all you're doing is running and jumping, the movement needs to be really specific. And if not realistic, if it's not physically realistic, then it needs to be sort of adaptable or at least consistent within itself if it's not going to be realistic. And I felt
the Roadrunner like game was worse than Bubsy.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh for sure. No, Bubsy's not a terrible game, but his point about that was a really good point, and I think that that sort of carries over to this a little bit. The only other thing I didn't like was every now and then there were grammatical things that were like, why? Like, when you win a level, it says, you are the win level. Wait, what? Like, why does it not say you are the winner?
I thought that was on purpose. Yeah, that was intentional.
No, I'm sure it is intentional, but it's not that funny. It's one of those things that's like an in-joke that maybe he and his group of friends think is funny, but like, I don't find that funny. I find it grammatically incorrect. There's nothing funny about it.
Press start, sweet.
You know, yeah.
No, that's just funny. Weird. Because it's a pun. Like, the stuff like that that's like punny jokes, or there's a spoonerism right after it tells you how to wall jump, it says you're Jackie Chan instead of Jackie Chan. Like, those things are funny, and that's fine because they're understandable. Anybody could read that who speaks English and know why it's funny.
But something sounds like an asshole.
Level is like, well, to each them. But anyway, in general, I think it's a great game. It's free for right now. I don't know if it's going to stay free. Like I said, they're having an issue with Desura not like keeping games free for more than a limited time period. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely worth downloading and checking out, and it's a good time waster, as Jeremy would say.
I'll pay for it if I lose it. I like it that much. Because there's something about platforming and shooting that I really that I really like. Like, those two go together well.
And some of the, like, what it plays off of a lot of video game cultural references, which I like. Like, one of the Chesters you can get is Mr. Chester, and it's a playoff Mr. Game & Watch. So he's designed in the style of Game & Watch, and when he shoots, it's that same sort of, and it even makes beep, 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 like, kind of noises that game used to
make. Did you notice 8-Bit Chester, when he jumps, he puts his arms up Mega Man style? How can you not love it?
Oh, I really loved those. Those kinds of references really tickled me, and they appeal to the gamer in general, not just the specific blank fanboy. Like, it's not a Mario fanboy or a, you know, Zelda fanboy. It's the, I'm a gamer and I actually know all these games, and so it's nice to see those things put into this game. That I thought was really well done. I thought that attention to detail was superb, and as far as that stuff goes, it's probably one of the better platformers you could play. And then on top of all of that, it's free, so you should definitely download that and play it right away.
And try it, Sage. Try it with a 360 controller, a wired 360.
I suppose that I will, but I am against, I am like, on principle against the idea that a PC game would be designed that requires me to use a 360 controller, because then why would I just get it? No, that's it.
It is gonna hate.
stupid thing. It's not a hater thing. That was the problem with Core Blaze, was that they designed the game never planning, they're not planning on importing it to a console necessarily. And they didn't design it for a console and then adapt it. They designed it for the PC, but designed it in a way where you basically cannot play it because the controls are so unmanageable, like they don't work, unless you plug in a gamepad controller into your computer. As someone who has both of those things, why the fuck would I buy a PC game if I had to play it with a gamepad? I would just buy it on my 360 and play it on my high-def TV. Like, that makes no sense at all.
You know,
Sage,
the
guy at Evo that played Mortal Kombat on the keyboard, I think he's single. So, you know.
I heard it said, and I think this makes a lot of sense the more I think about it, that, you know, games just aren't meant to be played on office equipment.
Oh.
No, you know what? Shit like that, you clearly have not ever tried to play both kinds of games and noted that there's a difference between using a mouse keyboard, notably that it's faster and more responsive, no matter what the fuck you do to your modded out Xbox controller. Keyboard mouse is more responsive and faster than a 360 controller, which is why, in general, like, there are some games that are better suited for a keyboard mouse layout and some games that are better suited for a console. And I would totally be a more understanding if on games like Chester, where it's made for both. But on a game like Core Blaze, where they have no intention, none, of sending it to consoles, and they didn't take it from a console game, they just made it for the PC, but then made it require a gamepad, that's, like, inane. Like, why would you do that? Anyway, I'll stop ranting about that now. So, but Chester's great. You should get it and play it. Guns of Icarus looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a steampunk airship fighting type game. Nice. The loadout, the character loadout, like building your character and everything, is pretty basic, but not bad. I mean, it's, you know, amusing looking. You get to choose if you want to be a captain or like the engineer who fixes things or a gunner. And I thought that dynamic was pretty cool, that you basically get to either, if you have a team of friends, that works. But if you just know that you want to be a certain position, you can join up with a team of people and, you know, be the gunner and not the captain or whatever. And I'm really excited to see how it plays, but I tried to play it during the open beta weekend, and I could not because there were, at max, 5 people in the lobby at any time that I, like, looked at the screen. Like, I sat there with the computer on in front of me, kept going in and out of, like, would sit in a room for 20 minutes, and it wouldn't load any people, and I'd be like, okay, so I'd leave and try and go back in, and then I had, like, my other computer in front of me was doing other things. And I never got a chance to play because...
Did you see me? I was on.
I did not see you, but we might not have been on at the same time.
Okay.
Because I didn't sit there with it on all weekend. I mean, I had other things to do. But it looks like it'll be great. So I have nothing to say as far as gameplay, but the look is great. I played Samurost 2, which is another Armanita.
Samurage Roast?
Samurage Roast. It's a game made just for me. I get really angry and this red light surrounds me and then I just implode and destroy everything around me. It's kind of like Splody Man, but better. No, I'm just kidding. now I want that to be a game. No, I played Samurost 2, which is another Armanita game. They're the people who do Machinarium and Botanicula and all those games. And it's I don't have a lot to say about it except, like most of their games, you know, their use of sound is great and it's very cute. And there, you know, are puzzles to solve that have clever solutions and all of those things. And it's really very sweet. These aliens come to your home planet and kidnap your dog. And all the planets look very like the Little Prince. They're sort of these.
That's not sweet. I'd kill all those fuckers. I would make them bleed. They try to.
Robert, you would really like this game. Like, so you're on your little, and these aliens show up and they're stealing your fruit, and your dog starts barking at them, so they bag the dog and kidnap the dog, and they take off. And you're like, no, and so you chase after them in your spaceship, and you have to rescue your man's best friend from these aliens who would eat him or do bad things.
With that premise, I want to pure shoot him up, and I want blood. I don't want point and click.
Well, it has a happy ending. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Robert, I cannot believe you and that little dog.
Well, do not ever say anything bad about Robert's little dog. I've seen him go apeshit over nothing.
Oh, if I will. I've killed for less.
He has. It's true. I have seen this. You don't want this.
You don't fuck with a dog.
No. Nobody.
Don't fuck with Robert's tiny, tiny dog.
Hey, I got a tiny, tiny dog that's kind of pretty similar to yours, actually, Robert.
Yeah.
How is it that all you gamers have these tiny dogs. I don't understand. Why do you want a tiny dog? Why do you not want a big dog that you can actually wrestle with?
Well, actually, I have a big dog, too. I have a Rottweiler German Shepherd mix that's about 11, and he's about 75 pounds and still hyperactive. And
I'm a cat guy.
And full of energy. And then the little poodle that... and the little poodle that we have was actually a rescue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I used to have big dogs all the time, and then I got this one, and little dogs are the way to go.
Why, though? You can't. They're, like, tiny, and you might step on them, and you can't wrestle with them.
Oh, no. She'll wrestle. She will wrestle every morning. Wake-up time. Yeah.
Well, maybe my experience with little dogs is just the ones that I've experienced have been pussies, because that was always my problem.
You know they are. Poodles are the second smartest dogs, Sage.
Yes, we went over that.
I mean, you better be smart if you look like that.
Oh, that's, Jeremy.
Robert and I got into
a heated discussion downtown Los Angeles over by USC.
Yeah, and actually, no, I think it was when that guy pulled up and parked all stupid in front of the Sony Dome, and then the cops, like, the rent-a-cop showed up instantly and was like, you can't park there, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I just have to run in. And they, like, almost got into a fist fight. They're, like, calling for backup.
No, they were real cops. They were rangers because that was by the exposition.
Yep.
Yeah, Chuck Norris on parking duty. We
also did an argument about whether or not poodles are the second smartest dog, and as it turns out, they are.
Yes.
Which begs the case for me, because all the poodles I have known were dumb as frickin' boxers.
Aww. My poodle's smart enough to know when I have food and proceeds to follow me around the house
all
and
dogs know
stare
when you
at
have
me and whine at me.
It. That's not smarts, that's nose. No brains.
Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Okay, enough dog sounds. It's time for trivia. We got to move the show.
Hey, wait, I played other things.
Robert. Oh, okay. Sorry, Sage.
Most importantly, I also played Jamestown, but I feel like we've talked about that before, so I'm not going to talk about it. Or I'll talk about it next week. I played The Void, which Deagle sent a key to me for, which is probably the most original and awesome game that I played this week and maybe in most of my life, which is not that surprising because they, in fact, won the most original game award from the Russian, you know, game expo, which I forget what it's called. It's like KYE or something, or KYI. KRI. Anyway, it won most original game in 2007, and it came to Steam in 2009, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the German version of the game, and I'm not actually sure what the differences are. It's a Russian-made game, and then the Germans put out an edition that came to America, and I don't know what they changed. But The Void is an incredible game. I mean, it has an atmosphere and an ambiance that affects you, like a lot of survival horrors, you know, like Amnesia or something, any of them that are done well. It really, you can feel this, like, oppressive, like, almost suffocating feel to the game, which sounds really unpleasant, but it's not, because it makes the moments where you're trying to get away from that more poignant. And the whole point of the game is that your soul is trapped in the void, which is a place that occasionally souls get stuck before they die the for real death forever. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can keep your soul alive is to find color. Which was really interesting because when I first started playing it, I thought it was going to be some weird, like, Mario Paint ripoff stupid game, because it was like, oh, you got to collect color and then paint with it. And I was like, what is this baby bullshit? But it really wasn't at all. You find color in the world and then you paint with it to, you know, trigger certain actions, but it's not anything lame. It's just a mechanism for, you know, utilizing this thing that you have. And they employ this really interesting strategy dynamic where every single color, there's seven, and they're both your health and your life and your weapon, you know, for lack of a better word. And every color that you utilize both has a plus and a negative to it. So, you know, like if you use too much, if you use blue, the more blue that you use, the faster, not you blue, the color blue. It's actually azure. The more azure that you use, the faster time runs, but also the faster you move. So all of the colors have a pro and a con, that, and some of them don't balance each other out within the color that way. Some of them, you know, it's other colors that balance it out. But it's really interesting because you can really feel the strategy element. Like you're looking at the game sort of unfold as you start playing it, and you can see that you're going to make definite choices that are going to have a very real impact on how the game functions, and that may be the wrong choice. And a lot of games have various paths you can follow, but it doesn't really matter in the end. And I really like that this game has an element of it. You really feel like your strategic choices that you make are going to matter, and you may lose the game because there's only so many cycles to the game, like days. Mm-hmm. And once you run out, the game's over. And there's also a finite amount of color in the world. So it's not, if you use up, you know, all of a certain color in the beginning, you're not going to get any more of it. And it's not like a resource management game at all. It's just one of those things that they want you to pay attention to what you're doing and how you're doing it. And it's really well done, actually. I was very, very impressed. I don't know how much it is. Do you, Robert?
It was like $10.
Okay, so it's like $10 on Steam. For $10, it's immensely worth it, even just to see the amount of ingenuity and creative thought that went into it. And they really went deep. I mean, they have all these different, like, you know, mythos background informational things, and it's not overwhelming information like Skyrim, where you have like 3,000 books you could read.
And it has been bundled in a number, I think at least 2 indie bundles, so you can probably score it for fairly cheap in the immediate future.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. It's a really, really enjoyable game.
The Void, better than the Noid for NES.
Anyway, mailbag? Trivia?
No, trivia. Hold on.
What are we doing?
Trivia.
I was just doing a shot up my nose of a nasal spray. He caught me.
There are all
It's my own. It's my own cocaine in the middle of the show.
We have not had a lot of poop or sex jokes, but we've had like 4 or 5 drug references at this point. We're evolving.
We're getting like sophisticated.
Trivia time, number one.
Trivia.
This week on the Nintendo eShop, Dot Runner Complete Edition is hoping to gobble up your disposable income by offering a 3D Pac-Man-esque type of title. But alas, developer Intense Co. Limited is probably better known for their Escape Trick series. Which of the following locales have DSi and 3DS owners not been able to break free from in this point-and-click adventure series? Okay, A Ninja Castle, B King Solomon's Mines, C Rock City Prison, or D a convenience store?
What were the first two?
I'm going to say a Ninja Castle.
Escape Trick series. It's a not very prominent DSi and 3DS eShop line.
Is there anything prominent on the 3DS eShop?
Yeah, the pinball. Zen Pinball is pretty prominent.
Okay, besides the pinball.
What is that one? Pushmo is kick-ass.
There's also things like Dylan's Rolling Western and just all kinds of stuff. Did you know that they're doing weekly sales?
Sakura, yeah. Unfortunately, I had most of the titles already. Mm. Sakura Samurai is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good too.
Ninja Castle, King Soul. Ninja Castle's mine. Rock City Prison or Convenience Store?
I'll agree with Jeremy and go Ninja Castle.
I have no idea. I'm going to guess C, like you always do when you have no idea.
Correct answer, B, King Solomon's Mines.
Ah, shit.
Ninjas don't have castles.
Hey, that's not true. What's that Dark game castle that came out, Deagle, that you played that's ninjas in a castle?
House of Dead Ninjas, Mega Dev.
Yeah,
there you go. And they kick ass, and they probably... Yeah. They're probably listening right now, so
guys. And they have a castle.
You guys kick ass. Love your games. Anyway, number two. This week, PlayStation Mini Gang Wars offers Alpha Denshi's take on the side-scrolling beat-em-up. Once a certain legal team gets a hold of a certain likeness portrayed in the game, it might be SNK who gets the old beat-down. What doppelganger appears in the game? Is it A, Bruce Lee, B, Jackie Chan, C, Jet Li, D, the muscles from Brussels, Jean-Claude Van Damme, or E, Donnie Yen?
D.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that because I don't know who would choose that otherwise.
Blue, you're stuck.
I'm going to go with...
Blue's doing splits like Jean-Claude Van Damme right now.
I guess, what was the last one? E? Was there E?
Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen.
I think I'll go with E.
The correct answer, Jackie Chan.
Damn it.
The character is named Jackie, and it's Jackie when he had kind of the long bowl cut. Is there a name for that?
Yeah, his early years.
Yeah, his early years. That was such a kick-ass haircut.
The Double Dragon days.
Yeah. Number three, this week's other SNK mini is Time Soldiers, which sends a lone combatant, at least in this version, through five portholes of time to rescue a POW. But if you play the game in Japan, you know the game by this other moniker. Name it. Is it A, Battlefield, B, Millennium Soldiers, C, Ikari Warriors 3, or D, Chrononaut?
Battlefield.
What was the second one?
Millennium Soldiers.
Millennium Soldiers. I'm going to go with Millennium Soldiers.
I'm going to go with Ikari Warrior 3.
Correct answer. Sage got it. Battlefield.
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Battlefield. Number four, the release of Foosball 2012 for the PSV and
Baseball 2000?
No.
No.
SNES games around here. Anyway, Lisa Foosball 2012 for the PS Vita and PlayStation 3 certainly isn't Grip Games' first go-around on the PlayStation Network. Name the title that isn't part of the prolific Czech-based publisher's past efforts. This is going to test your PS Mini trivia here. A, One Epic Game. B, Mini Squadron. C, Blimp, The Flying Adventures. D, The Impossible Game. Or E, 3, 2, 1, Super Crash.
Wait, what do you want us to pick? What is not?
Which one didn't do?
Which is the one that has something to do with blimps?
Yeah, blimp. The blimp one.
Adventures. I own that.
The blimp one.
I'll go with the blimp one.
You're a blimp and you're a taxi. It's like Space Taxi. Jeremy?
I was hoping that you were going to name one that wasn't a mini. Those are all actual minis, so yeah. I would have to know the developer.
You know your minis, damn you.
You want to
fly on the Hindenburg with us.
Oh, man. I'm going to say One Epic Game really is. That is very Czech, actually, so it's not that. The Blimp.
The Blimp.
The Blimp.
3, 2, 1. Super Crash.
No.
And the Hindenburg burns to the ground.
Number five. This week, the PSN also sees the release of Wizorb, which features some of Paul Robertson's sprite compositions, which was in this week's notes. Which of the following games has the reigning prince of pixel art not had a hand in? A, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game. B, Pirate Baby Cabana Battle Street Fight 2006. D, Lock's Quest. Or E, Chester.
Balls.
What? Robertson, pretty kick-ass, by the way. He does some awesome sprite work.
So it would have to be one that doesn't have awesome sprite work out of all of those, right?
Okay, wait, sorry. Say them again, Robert, because it's so hard for me.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game. Pirate Baby's Cabana, Battle Street Fight 2006, Fez, Lock's Quest, or Chester.
Locks Fez?
I'm going to go with Fez.
At C. I think C is the one that I want, but there's so many names in there, it's so hard for me.
Pirate Baby's Cabana Battle Street Fight.
Yeah, no.
Just throws you, huh?
Yes.
I think Fez is really hard to say. I'm going to go with Fez.
Chester.
Oh, shit.
All right, well, there you go.
Sage is the winner with a grand total of one this
Yay!
Week.
Yay!
Edition.
I kick ass. Your questions are clearly too hard, Robert.
You guys don't know.
Our asses have been handed to us.
Yes. That was One Epic Trivia. Now it's time to move on to mailbag. We got a question from Weasler.
We're supposed to give a shout-out to.
Yes,
hi, Weasler.
For the next show, I expect and redemand a shout-out. So everybody say hello to Weasler. What
Weasler!
What video game best handles death?
Ooh.
I have an answer for this.
Is it going to be too spoilery?
Yes, if it's a spoiler thing, don't do it.
Okay.
Okay, name the title game, and then whoever hasn't played it that doesn't want a spoiler can take their headphones off or something
Why don't you just say there's a good death in blank, but don't say who it is?
Yeah. Okay.
Do that. Be like, there's a good death in this game. Just don't say who dies.
I just read that, and I thought it was death of the player.
What?
Death of the
player. I think what he intends is for starting and restarting, and you know.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Do you prefer something like God of War, where it says actually you are dead, and then it starts over, or do you prefer something more like? Yeah, exactly.
I have an answer for this. I actually thought about this.
Okay.
For once. There are a couple that are a tie for me. One is Limbo. Even though it's really cheesy, it's so visceral when you like fall apart into pieces that I really liked the way that they like animated that death sequence. Okay. And the other one, because it made me feel it. And the other one that I really liked is Prince of Persia, because he's telling a story, so it wouldn't make sense for you to die. And I love that the way they dealt with that was for him to be like, no, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. Let me go back and retell that part.
Cool. That was really good.
Did you guys ever play Prey?
That was the other thing I was going to mention, where if you die, you have to go through some level. And
It's like the Afterworld. And you would go through that, and you know, it was enough of a punishment so that you wouldn't, you know, just play loosely, but still, you know, it offered something different and unique. The one I was going to say was Prinny 2. I don't like the game mechanics. I think it's way too hard, but I thought as a metaphor for life, it was kind of interesting, because the game gives you 999 lives and you think, oh my God, I can finish this game, right? I can live forever. That's like when you're a kid, you think, oh, I'm going to live forever. And then you start getting, you know, you get 500 and you say, oh, I better play a little bit more carefully. And then you're down to like your last 100 and, you know, you still got a lot of room to go. And you all of a sudden start valuing and you play differently. And I think that was an interesting technique, not the best execution, but... I thought it was really cool.
Totally.
One thing I'd love to see in... I'm going to just throw out Tomb Raider, because this is where the idea kind of comes from. Right. I'd love it if when Lara Croft falls into a pit or whatever, it's like, if the camera would, like, you know, falls into a pit, dies and whatnot, if the camera would kind of, like, zoom in on her eyes, and then it kind of transitions to, like, the last checkpoint or whatever, and she kind of, like, shakes her head and, like she's daydreaming, or, you know, kind of letting her imagination get the best of her. And the round where you died was just her imagining the worst-case scenario where she screws up and she dies.
Kind of like Sherlock Holmes, the new versions, where he kind of plans out the what is attacker each move.
Oh, yeah, right.
But with the polar opposite. Yeah. You're fine. Yes. That was just a forced metaphor.
No. But that makes sense. I mean, it's a push, but it makes sense for sure.
It's a push.
I tend to prefer for death in games to be a little less punishing. You know, if you run the gamut from, you know, you are dead and that's it, and you just go back to your last checkpoint versus, I mean, I think on the extreme other end of the scale is something like Prince of Persia 2008, where, well, I guess, they you can take little offshoots and things, but in Prince of Persia 2008, there was basically no death. It would essentially rewind you right there as, you know, the girl, like, grabs your hand and pulls you back up or whatever.
Right, and don't forget the roguelikes, where death is pretty permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or that it is absolutely a part of the game, where it actually changes the experience, and you know you have your own unique experience. So I'm kind of sad that we clarified the question before, because I thought I was going to be very clever and say that the first game that came to my mind when Weasler asked this question was actually Black and White, and it's not that you, the character or the player, have to deal with death, but I really like how your little villagers people, like when they die, I don't know if you guys ever played Black and White, but there's this. Like it whispers this.
Yeah.
And their little spirit flies up. And then if you don't have, because you can eventually get like little graveyards and things. And if you don't have a graveyard, somebody dies and all the people come over and they see the dead body and they like cry and you can't console them and they don't go to work until you build a little graveyard in their village, and then they will bury the people and the graveyard will start to fill up with little gravestones. And whenever I think of death in games, I tend to think of Black and White. Because
was that Molyneux?
It was Peter Molyneux. Yep.
Back
before
when he was good.
He was such a jackass.
I still like Peter Mullen.
Are you
did you like Fable 3?
I actually had the good fortune.
What about Milo?
Yeah, what about friggin' Milo? How about that?
How about everything that comes out of
Peter Molyneux right now is he's like, oh, isn't this some one facet of human interaction interesting to you? No, Peter, it's not. Oh, well, I like it, so I'm going to make a game about it. Well, fuck you. That's Peter
Milo Molly gets right canceled. And sent to an adoption agency.
I do like to see auteurs within the field, even if they don't produce a product. I think he challenges the way we think about games. So
he challenges me to not want to punch him in the face when I see him. That's what he challenges for me.
Oh, okay. Next question, Manimal.
Before we move on, I thought of one more good one, one more bad one. One good one was Pikmin. You know, you'd have the little Pikmin running around, and then, like, if some of them get smushed and stomped or whatever, you'd hear, like, this like, and then you see, like, a little colored ghost, you know, depending on what color Pikmin got smushed, and you see it little fly up and stuff like that. And it's like, it just kind of grips at you. It's just like, oh, those poor little Pikmin. And then the bad, as far as handling death poorly, too human, because every fucking time you died in that piece of shit game, you'd have to wait for like an angel or a Valkyrie or whatever to float down and then pick up your body, then float up into heaven while some crappy music. Ah, fuck that game.
Manimal. He says, Desert mentioned focus testing with Jeremy like it was a cure for gaming problems. What's your opinion of focus testing?
Not enough of it is done these days.
Like in general?
Wait,
ever?
Wait. Say that again, Blue.
Like not enough of it is done these days, am I thinking of QA?
No, focus testing is usually you put a game still in production in front when they're still you're still able to change some element of the game. And so what do you like? What don't you like? And the idea there is you tailor it to the audience's whims, which already kind of, you know, but you can tell by my language, I'm not a fan of it. I truly believe in auteurs and, you know, there's certain game designers where you should put out a game and much like movies, you shouldn't have the populace dictating what they want. And I think after seeing the last, Dark Knight Rises, I don't want to give any spoilers, but I was a little disappointed in the film, and I really think that they play to a couple things. One, you know, kind of the IP, and two, for the fans. I was disappointed in the film.
Well, it's kind of hard to follow up a movie like The Dark Knight.
We'll talk on another show, but I was really disappointed. It was a hot mess, the movie.
Honestly, Robert, I think more than... I mean, I see what you're saying, and I felt that way a little bit, but it didn't bother me as much. Mostly what bothered me is there... And this won't spoil anything, but there are some pretty big holes in terms of, like, physics.
Yeah.
Or at one point, how a certain person got from one place to another place, and just like poof, he was there like an hour later, and you're like, oh.
Or something is a big event is going on, and he's got a lot of time to fuck around and do stuff.
Right. Well, you and I will have to talk about that because I'll tell you about that. But no, those were my like physics things that should have been looked up that were like that's not how that works. Not like Batman comic book physics things, but like actual. Like isotope decay rates. I mean, things like that are like, there's no reason to fudge that, and that's just silly.
Did you ever see The Transporter? I think it was the second one or the third one. That game, or that movie, I think it took place on the moon.
Right?
There's actually, like, no gravity in the whole
thing. But I don't go into those expecting anything, so they don't really disappoint me, because I assume there'll be empty fluff from the beginning.
But I know some people will say, well, it's only a movie, but when it's so fake and it doesn't look like reality, doesn't feel like reality at all, it pulls you out of the narrative.
Right. No, I agree.
Sometimes you just have to take it kind of like, just like tongue-in-cheek or whatever, because I mean, it's like you can't watch a movie like the live-action Cutie Honey anime adaption and really like get hung up on how serious it is.
Right. I
love that movie, by the way.
You know, for factual, that was the actual story of the Spice Girls. Did you ever notice their tour bus, Blue, was like huge on the inside? It was like a whole studio, and then they showed the outside. It was like 18x14.
You're talking about the Spice Girls tour bus?
Yes.
Yeah, the one with the giant.
Why do you know what the Spice Girls tour bus looks like?
Spice World. One of the best.
Why would you have watched? What? Are you kidding?
I have it on VHS and DVD, and I have the CD.
Guy watches
throw
it
up once. All over my kitchen right now.
Back to Manimal's question about focus testing.
We don't have any on this.
I would
show.
Like to say
there's
that focus,
no focus
is very
testing.
Important. Yeah. No, but I think that the applicability of focus testing is kind of limited anyway. You know, by the time a game has gone through the conceptualization process, I think they say the die is pretty well cast at that point. And I think that the only thing that you can really do with focus testing as a getting a group of people outside the process to come in and look at it is to decide how you're going to market it, how you're going to, put it out there for people to consume, what things you should emphasize, what things you might want to de-emphasize.
The best example I could think of is the RE6 trailers that are coming out these days. Definitely playing to a certain audience.
Yeah, yeah. So focus testing, I think it's important because on one side of it, getting an outside opinion. I mean, a lot of these studios will basically fly blind, and it's really hard when you're entrenched. Like, you know how Seinfeld used to say that you wonder about people who are in bad movies? Like, do they know it? Do they look and they say into the audience, I know, it's so bad. But really, a lot of developers, they get so nose down in those processes, and they have their own relationship with that product that they have sometimes a hard time getting a little bit of distance to go back and take a look at it. Focus
I believe
testing,
that's I called Drew Barrymore syndrome.
The house burned down.
Although, for the I feel like from the acting side of it, because I have gone through this experience with the student films I've been in, you shoot so much stuff that seems coherent and makes sense, and then they cut a lot of that when they edit. Mm-hmm. So, like, you might look at it afterwards and be like, "What the fuck is this shit that I'm in?" And it's not even the actor. Because if you think about it, if you watch some of those movies, if they're not a bad actor, if it's not their acting, and like they're a pretty good actor, and you're like, "How could they be in this stupid movie?" The script changes a lot once you start shooting. Like, they're prone to go in and be like, "Oh, we're gonna shoot this differently," and and then after they've shot everything, they cut a lot of stuff. So what seemed like this coherent, nice story before suddenly is meaningless, and you're just like, how did that happen? What? I'm just throwing that out there.
I think focus testing sucks because it messes up the creative vision. If you have a brilliant mind on a game, you don't want to be doing focus testing and making this great this great mind question itself. Just do your thing. If you're great, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say I'm bitter because I went to a screening of Mighty Joe Young when I first moved to Southern California.
Yay, Mighty Joe.
No, it was an awful movie. And I did focus testing, and I wrote about 3 or 4 pages, an alternate ending that I wanted to see. And for some reason, I thought somebody was going to see this and say, oh my God, here is a brilliant mind.
This
we need to pick
it.
Him up. And so I went to see the full movie, and they didn't change a damn thing.
This could have been so good. I had it all written. I'll just share my brief. I had an opportunity to be in a focus test, and unfortunately, I was not able to save the world because it was a focus test for the sitcom Work It, where the men dress up in women's clothes, and I think it's called Work It, is what it ended up being called, and super terrible, super super terrible, and I couldn't put an end to it.
I like the title,
Ralph Wiggum turning that dial into the no column and crying into his arm.
All right, Work It.
Yeah,
and that's a show. It's a germ. So if you like what you heard, why not check out what we write? Point your browser to www.techgaming.com for the latest reviews, previews, release info. Blue, what way does your browser point?
My browser points to, Twitter. Okay. Twitter's good.
If you like our opinions on gaming, chances are you might, we did that joke last week, might find our take on everything else at least mildly amusing. Follow us on Twitter. I'm Robert Allen at Tech Gaming. Not with us here tonight, Sean Kirkland at Sean Nola, who texted me twice during the show. So he's here in spirit. Why am I saying the number? Sage Samarage Morris Green. She is at Samarage. And Blue Swim is at Blue Swim. And lest we not forget, Jeremy Lawman Lamont is at Jeremy LA MONT. Don't forget to subscribe to the Tech Gaming Podcast on iTunes. You can just click on the link in the show notes. And if you like what you hear, please rate the show as well. And one of the things I wanted to say is we're offering a contest. We're giving out some Comic-Con swag. So one of the things you want to do is be sure to like us on Facebook to win.
On Fakebook.
Freudian slip there. That's what I think of that. And no, like us on Facebook and leave a name of a fictitious superhero within the show notes, and you will be eligible to win some Comic-Con swag.
Wait, like they Spider-Man. Should make one up or they should name one that exists?
No, make one up.
Okay, Spider-Man. Well, then they also need to tell us the superpower that they have.
Okay, you heard
name and power.
Superpower. So, get on it, Ejaculation Man.
And gross. That one does not win. Automatic fail.
You know what? We're all Ejaculation Man.
Now I will never listen to any of you the same way.
John's going to say we're becoming Destructoid again.
That's how we were made, right?
I'm going to vomit everywhere.
It's nature. It's natural. We're just being us.
And you this week's title, Making Sage Vomit. That's what this week's episode is.
You guys are winners because you beat like 10 million other sperm.
Yay.
So no matter
the winner
how
is you.
Up time waster you are in life, you are
a winner. I'm going to make a shirt for you, Robert, that has, I'm a winner, and a tiny little picture of a sperm, and then a little thing that says, think about it. That's all it's going to say.
Wear that 5 days a week.
I will send it to you post haste.
Just make sure you didn't Lewinsky it.
So pretty.